Deutsche Welle. Africa Link.
Glad you could make time for this edition of Africa Link, coming to you straight from our studios in Bonn. I'm Crispin Mwakideu. Coming up, the World Bank joins Western nations, including Sweden, in suspending millions of dollars to Uganda following the signing of an anti-gay law.
This is Swedish taxpayers' money. We force them to pay this money, and we are sending it to a country pretty far away. And people will say, why should we support a government that is harassing people in this manner?
One expert explains one of the many reasons that causes conflict in Africa.
In times of lots of rain, there seems to be more cattle rustling going on than in times of drought, where people tend to cooperate more.
We shall also head to Sierra Leone to find out how the West African nation is faring in terms of the right to information. Stay tuned.
Top story.
Turning off the cash taps. The World Bank has postponed a $90 million loan meant to improve Uganda's maternal and child health services. At least 16 Ugandan women die each day during childbirth, according to the UN. The World Bank joins several Western nations who have either suspended or changed aid programs after President Yoweri Museveni signed a new tough anti-gay law. Alex Jita has been sampling reactions in Uganda and sent us this report.
Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni signed into law the controversial anti-homosexuality legislation that seeks to severely punish homosexuals. The signing on Monday 24th, February 2014, came even after the international community and human rights bodies expressed concern over the law. However, to many, the stance by the World Bank was completely unexpected. Sheila Gashishiri, the World Bank spokesperson in Uganda, who turned down a recorded interview, told DW Radio in an email that the $90 million was meant to improve services offered to pregnant women in 10 hospitals across the country. In her voiced-over statement, she said, the loan was suspended for further review to ensure that the World Bank development objectives would not be adversely affected by the enactment of this new law.
The World Bank has only postponed the additional financing of the $90 million of the International Development Agency, IDA, loan for Uganda Health System, which was meant to strengthen projects to ensure that its development objectives would not be adversely affected by the enactment of this new law.
Uganda government spokesperson Ofwono Opondo reacted with defiance to the news. In a Twitter message, he said, Uganda will use the resources from within, while the minister in charge of ethics and integrity, Simon Lokodo, accused the World Bank of double standards.
Diplomacy is related to respect of each other. If you want to downtrod, minimize, reduce the dignity of another person, then that is no diplomacy either. Actually, it becomes blackmail. If I met him today, I would say, Obama, you're African yourself, you know that behavior is strange. You shouldn't just get obsessed with ideas that are not innate in you. And therefore, behave like a human person and choose the right way to behave.
Swedish Minister of Finance, Anders Borg, said it would be very hard to convince his government and the people of Sweden to continue their support to Uganda.
It will be a very difficult discussion, both in the government and in parliament, on this issue, because this is Swedish taxpayers' money. We force them to pay this money, and we are sending it to a country pretty far away. And people will say, why should we support a government that is harassing people in this manner? So I think it will be difficult to continue the government-to-government support.
Suspension of aid could affect many development programs. However, the chairman of the National Economic Committee in the Ugandan Parliament, Stephen Mukitale, says government should fight corruption through which national resources are stolen in order to free the country from aid.
What is most important is for us to make sure that the money we have, it could actually even be a blessing in disguise.
The law has been described by many as one of the toughest anti-gay laws in the world and the worst form of human rights violation.
Alex Jita with that report in Kampala. Sweden's finance minister Anders Berg, who visited Uganda this week, said the anti-gay law presents an economic risk for Uganda. To get a better understanding of how these aid cuts will affect Uganda, I turned to Andrew Mwenda, a social commentator and founding editor of The Independent, Uganda's premier current affairs news magazine.
I can say that in the short term, there may be an economic shock resulting from a sudden cut in aid. Two, there will also be a shock, especially in those services that were dependent on this aid. But I think in the long term, it is good that they have cut aid, because then the Uganda government may have an incentive to look inside its own economy and perhaps begin examining policies and institutions that are necessary to increase the productivity of the local economy, rather than depending on international handouts.
How would you describe the relations between Uganda and the World Bank prior to the signing of the anti-gay law?
The relations have actually been very good. Remember that Uganda has been a shining example of the success of World Bank programs in Africa. And the World Bank itself, I think, is taking this decision under pressure from Western governments rather than from its own internal political dynamics.
Well, the World Bank is a poverty-fighting institution, and it usually refrains from getting into internal politics of member countries. Are we seeing a change of its policy in Uganda, or is this just a one-time incident?
Well, if I was in the World Bank, I could argue that, we are carrying out a program in a country where we have to send our own members of staff who may be gay. So if you pass a law criminalizing gays, you may be also targeting our own staff. How can we send our people who are gay to work, and when they live their own lifestyle, they get criminalized and sent to jail for life? So if I was also in the shoes of the World Bank internally making a decision, and I have many members of my staff who are gay, I think I would be concerned about this.
Well, Uganda gets a total of about $500 million, both in budget support and grants. Don't you think that these aid cuts will hurt the ordinary Ugandan more than, let's say, the Ugandan elite?
Well, that assumes that this aid has been beneficial to the ordinary Ugandan. I actually don't think so. I think that this aid largely benefits elites, and whatever goes to the ordinary Ugandan is very little to be of much significance.
Well, despite the intervention from the Bank of Uganda, we have already seen the shilling depreciating against the dollar. Do you think the measures that have been taken so far are enough to show up the currency?
Remember that the value of the Uganda shilling relative to the US dollar is determined by very many factors. For example, the performance of the Ugandan exports and also the price of oil. But aid is one of the factors contributing to the value of the Uganda shilling. It's one among several values.
So you don't believe that the aid cuts and the suspension of the loans has anything to do with the shilling falling?
Well, I think that right now, if you announce aid cuts today, the shilling cannot fall tomorrow, because aid that has already been dispersed already is in the economy. What I can say, in the medium term, there can be an impact. But if there is growth in export revenues, the aid cuts may not harm the Uganda shilling much. In any case, it is good for the Uganda shilling to depreciate against the dollar, because it increases the competitiveness of Ugandan exports.
Ugandan social commentator Andrew Mwenda in Kampala.
Africa Link, bringing you the story behind the story.
Mission to end friction. French President François Hollande, who visited Bangui on Friday, said his troops in Central African Republic are meant to prevent the country from breaking apart. France has promised another 400 soldiers in addition to its 1,600 troops. The EU is sending 1,000 soldiers. Central African Republic has been racked by interreligious violence, which has killed hundreds and displaced nearly a quarter of the population. This report by Simone Schlindwein has been adapted for Africa Link by Isaac Mugabe.
Fighting and the lack of infrastructure are making it almost impossible to get aid into the Central African Republic. After several weeks' delay, a food convoy has just arrived in Bangui. Many more are needed. Elve Massi has been waiting a full month for this moment, along with hundreds of thousands of other internally displaced people. The father of two children has just received 5 kilograms of peas, 30 kilograms of cornmeal, and 1.5 liters of cooking oil from the UN World Food Programme, WFP.
Without these supplies, we would be lost. We can't secure any food on our own because of the fighting.
But these rations are not enough to feed the family. Massi's 5-year-old son is already showing signs of malnutrition.
They'll last perhaps for 2 weeks if we mix them with some cassava. Most people don't have any money to buy any supplementary items. We appeal to the international community to send us some sugar and milk.
It is the third time in 2 months that Mercy and the other internally displaced people have received food aid. The urgently needed relief only arrives intermittently in crisis-hit Central African Republic. On Tuesday this week, a WFP convoy arrived in the capital Bangui for the first time in weeks. The 100 or so trucks had been forced to wait in neighboring Cameroon before they were allowed to continue their journey to the Central African Republic under a heavily armed escort. Alexis Masciarelli from the World Food Programme says half of the country is waiting for food aid.
The main logistical challenge is to get food inside the country. We were in a situation now 2 weeks ago in Bangui where we only had about 85 tons of rice left in our warehouse. So it might sound a lot, 85 tons, but when you have to distribute to dozens of thousands of people, it means that if we were in a normal situation of distribution, we had only food for 3 days.
With the rain season threatening to worsen the situation, the World Food Programme concluded that 90% of farmers do not have seeds for the next planting season, as Masciarelli further explains.
So we're entering most likely what is going to be a very durable food and nutritional crisis in the country. You already see signs of malnutrition among adults and children. How long will it will continue? It's very difficult to say at the moment because we know it will last for several months. Until the economy can restart and people can get back to their jobs and have money and food comes back on the markets.
The six-month rainy season begins in April, and that's when the roads become impassable. That's also when farmers have to sow seed for the next harvest. Time is running out in the Central African Republic, both for those in need and the agencies trying to help them.
Isaac Mugabe with that report by Simone Schlinwein.
Human rights.
Former UN Chief Kofi Annan once said, "Knowledge is power, information is liberating." Access to information is widely recognized as a cornerstone of good governance. It's also an important tool in the fight against corruption. However, only around 10 countries in Africa have national laws or decrees that recognize the public's right to access information or records from government. As Nina De Vries reports, this basic human right is greatly coming under threat in Sierra Leone.
When Calvin Lewis, the president of the Sierra Leone Association of Journalists, SLAJ, came out with a press release about several recent arrests of journalists, Reporters Without Borders took notice. They were particularly concerned about so many charges of seditious libel, explains Lewis.
Well, seditious libel means that you're trying to undermine the security of the state, basically, and that is a heavy charge.
A heavy charge that journalist and presenter Theophilus Benda faced earlier this month.
This is now Culture Radio FM 104.5, the people station, and you listen to the program, Body Miss You, when it comes to you all time.
Theophilus Benda is rehearsing for his nightly program called Burning Issues at Culture Radio in Freetown. The show is an opportunity for people to call in or text and express their views on issues affecting them, such as health, land grabbing, human rights, or education. Benda explains why he was arrested after one of his shows aired.
I interviewed somebody who is very angry at the fact that his land has kind of been taken over by people acting in the interest of the vice president of the republic.
The caller, Sam Jones, also brought up previous pieces of media coverage that put the vice president, Samuel Sam Sumana, in a bad light. He heard the program and issued a complaint as he felt the interview was one-sided, explains Benda. He was first summoned by the Independent Media Commission, IMC, which is separate from the government and regulates media. Often complaints about media go to the IMC, but it's not mandatory. In this case, police intervened midway and arrested Benda, charging him with seditious libel, meaning he was inciting people to change the government by unlawful means. After Sumana called them directly to intervene, says Benda. He was eventually released, but this method of journalists being arrested on such severe charges has human rights activists worried too. Solomon Sogbandi is the director of Amnesty International in Freetown.
We see as a gross violation of freedom of expression in that we see that this is a deliberate attempt by those in authority to clamp down on the journalists specifically, to see that they are intimidated in terms of how they carry out their profession. This is a worrying trend for us.
Sierra Leone is ranked 72nd out of 180 countries in the 2014 Press Freedom Index, which Reporters Without Borders published earlier this month. That is 10 places lower than its ranking in the 2013 index. Calvin Lewis explains that SLAJ is trying to remove the charge of seditious libel altogether from the 1965 Public Order Act in Sierra Leone. He doesn't deny that sometimes journalists overstep their boundaries in reporting and need to be careful. However, he adds the seditious libel charge suppresses freedom of the press because it's considered a criminal offense. Journalists can spend up to 3 years in prison if convicted. SLAJ has even spoken to President Ernest Bai Koroma about it.
The president has assured us that he would review them, and we have asked him to remove the jail sentences and take away the criminal aspects of free speech.
Government spokesperson Abdoulaye Bayrate explains that the government is not against press freedom, but journalists have to be careful of what and how they report.
At the end of the day, you do the editing, you do the gatekeeping to make sure, one, you're professional, two, you are balanced and objective.
However, Reporters Without Borders maintains the arrests are intimidation methods from those in power. As for Benda, he says he will not be intimidated and still feels he did nothing wrong.
For us, what we think we are doing is to help the government, to draw their attention to the odds in society, so they will take appropriate actions. But if they are targeting us, it means they are not ready for a change.
That change, he hopes, will be recognized soon.
Nina De Vries in Freetown. Let's now turn to a different topic. The African continent is facing various conflicts which claim the lives of hundreds of people. Reasons for these fightings vary, but one of the factors is the fight for resources. This fight is being made worse by global warming, as DW's Stephen Mpuku found out in an interview when he hosted Dr. Anke Höfler. She is a research officer at the Centre for the Studies of African Economies in Oxford.
One area that springs to mind is Sudan, where there's a lot of cattle rustling going on, or northern Kenya. Interestingly, though, in times of lots of rain, there seems to be more cattle rustling going on than in times of drought, where people tend to cooperate more than in the wet times.
When you talk about climate, what impact does it have on conflicts in Africa?
Climate change is really very severe in Africa, or in parts of Africa. Globally, the world has become hotter. And in Africa, parts of it have also had less precipitation, so less rain. And so there's more evaporation. It's hotter and there's less rain. So there are more areas that are arid now and too marginal to be used for agriculture. So people have to migrate. It's not sustainable to live there any longer.
Population growth and land scarcity are said to be other factors that can fuel or that fuel conflicts in Africa. How should they be managed?
So one of the consequences of climate change means that these marginal areas cannot be used for agriculture any longer and people migrate mainly to the cities. So what is happening in these cities is that this urban living isn't very nice. These are illegal settlements where there are a lot of pressures on people. They don't have sanitation, they don't have clean water to drink, they suffer from diseases and their children very often are sick, and there's enormous pressure on resources like schools. In particular, there's a lot of pressure for young men to find jobs. So there are institutional bottlenecks that might cause them to turn to crime and gang violence in these illegal settlements.
How about the African leaders? What should they do to stop conflicts fueled by the same resources and effects of climate?
One of the issues would be to organize this migration from rural to urban areas in a much better way, to provide better infrastructure for these urban settlements and access for emergency services. Also would make it much easier to police these areas, which are really crime-ridden. So the poor are very often victims of crime.
Research officer at the Centre for the Studies of African Economies, Anke Höfler.
USA.
And now, finally, we've come to one of my favourite parts of Africa Link, the time when we take the back seat and hear what you, the listener, and our online readers had to say concerning our stories and articles. Abubakar Jallo has been sorting out your responses. What did you find out, Abu?
Yes, Crispin, the story that received and is still attracting a lot of responses is the anti-gay bill which the Ugandan president, Yoweri Museveni, signed into law on Monday, 24th February 2014.
And just to remind you, the listener, that the law toughens penalties for gay people. While homosexual acts are already illegal in Uganda, the new law now says first-time offenders are to be sentenced to 14 years in jail. And the law also sets life imprisonment as the maximum penalty for aggravated homosexuality. Lesbians are covered by the bill for the first time, and the law also criminalizes those who do not report homosexual acts.
Crispin, the law has been signed despite international pressure to block the legislation. And our listeners and online readers have been discussing a lot about this topic. Kwasi Allen said, "Ugandans are pretty satisfied with the new law. I mean, when you sign laws that are against us, you never hear us make fuss about it." Me Kanchi Bedi from Mumbai had an opposite view. She said, "They should not be deprived of their fundamental right. Everyone is born free and everyone is born different." Solomon Douglas says, "That's good news because it's taboo here in Africa." Rosalia Moeli disagrees and asks, "Really? Are Ugandans satisfied with this new law? Living in a country like Brazil, I can't imagine the people happy with something like this."
Well, those are opinions and comments from our listeners and our followers online. And just to remind you that these are comments and opinions, and we at DW edit them and make sure that they conform, rather, to our editorial standards. Abu, do you have any more responses?
Yes, we have a lot of responses concerning this topic again, just like you've been reporting on the top story, that the World Bank has postponed loans to Uganda's health system because of the anti-gay law.
And this comes after similar moves from Denmark, the Netherlands and Norway, and also heavy criticism from the United States.
This particular story again today has also had a number of responses. Now listen to some of them. Katanyua Oscar said, "Do we all have to be gays and lesbians to get loans?" Rika Lisa Marie Saibat has defended the move. Her thoughts are that, "Look, every Western government has a discretionary budget dedicated to helping support global neighbors. If they choose to withhold on this one, that is their right." Christopher Anthony Fulford from New Zealand asks, "So, how many innocent people are going to die in an unfunded hospital so that the West can impose its newfound morality?" Medet Suleiman summarizes her thoughts in a few words: "It's a great step." Finally, I would like to remind our listeners about our quiz competition. We are receiving hundreds, and I mean hundreds, of emails and text messages from you, the listener, every week. The competition is still ongoing. Keep sending your responses and your answers. The more answers you send, the higher the chances of winning a laptop, a tablet, an MP3 player, or numerous amounts of small gifts. If you would like to know our quiz question for this week, log on to our website, dw.de/Africa, and listen to Tuesday's Africa Link show. There, you will hear the story first, followed by the questions for our quiz competition. That's all from me. Over to you, Crispin.
Thank you, Abubakar, and thanks to all who contributed with their comments. You can send your answers for the quiz competition or respond to the topics covered on Africa Link or on our website by sending us a text message on +491609575910, an email to feedback.africa@dw.de, or a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany. And if you're a member of one of our clubs and wish to have your comments aired, then drop us a line with your phone number and we will call you back. Yose will be back next week at the same time. And now here's a quick summary of our main stories. Uganda has accused the World Bank of blackmail after the global lender suspended a $90 million loan over the country's adoption of a tough anti-gay law. French President François Hollande has said his troops are in CRR to stop the country from breaking apart. And then we've come to the end of the show. Makoldo will be you next week. I'm Crispin Mwakideu. Stay safe.